Well, there's a time of year that happens. There's an event, rather, that happens once a year. It's in my favorite sport. It's in hockey. And once a year, they come out with a list of candidates of people that may make it into the Hockey Hall of Fame. There's just a handful of people that make it in every year, but they have a list that they generate, and these people have all have a huge list of accomplishments. They're all very talented. They were all key members of their own team, but when it comes down to it, only a handful can make it into the Hockey Hall of Fame every year. And this last year, there was a player that came up on the list of candidates that was kind of close to my heart. It was the goalie of my favorite team when I first started watching hockey growing up. His name is Curtis Joseph, and he was one of the best goalies that my team had ever had. In fact, he had a long list of credentials that made him one of the best goalies of his era. He had an impressive win list. He did miracles for his team. His team always relied on him. But there was one qualification he didn't have. He'd never won a championship. In fact, when the analysts were talking about this player, they said he is just amazing goalie. He's fantastic. But when it actually came down to it, when it actually was the championship on the line, he didn't deliver. When it was the most difficult, the time where he was under the most pressure, the time when he could have been the hero, he never delivered. And that got me thinking about our spiritual lives and how we, when we come under pressure, do we fold or do we deliver? I have three examples for us to talk about today, both positive and negative. So let's jump back to our first one in 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. We'll start reading in chapter 11, starting in verse 1. You know the story. It's David and Bathsheba, starting in verse 1. And it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when the kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David stayed at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. And she came to him, and he lay with her. For she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. Now, this is an instance where David had several instances where he could have turned back at any time. So there's an instance when he was up on the roof, he could have turned and looked the other way. Even after he saw, he could have just let it go right there. But no, he sent messengers. So there's time elapsed that goes by. And then finally, he brings her up and he does what he shouldn't do. So when the pressure was on, he did not do what he was supposed to do. We know that David has a lot of other examples where he did do what was right under pressure, but this example was one that he's not going to be very proud of. Let's go back to another example in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Now this one is interesting to me, because all that happens in Exodus, we have the Israelite slaves coming out of Egypt. They have all these miraculous signs, but as you know, it doesn't take them very long before they murmur and bitter and are bickering against God. Exodus chapter 32. This is when the relationship between God and the Israelites was really going to solidify, when he was going to lay out his covenant with them and his rules and his regulations and his expectations with his people. And after all they had seen, when Moses is actually up on the mountain getting clarification, let's see what happens. Exodus 32, we'll read verses 1 through 6. "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed..." Well, what was Moses doing? He wasn't just going out to the supermarket and picking up a pack of diapers or something. No, he was actually up on the mountain getting the commands and the rules and the regulations from God. "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, let us make gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt. We do not know what has become of him. So we can see the people still hadn't made the connection that it wasn't Moses at all. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molten calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out to the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast day to the Lord. Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Certainly, Aaron was under pressure in this circumstance. Maybe he didn't know what was taking Moses so long either. The people were rising up against him, and he felt like maybe he needed to do something right then and right there. And when the pressure was on Aaron, he folded. And he did exactly what the people wanted. He took their gold, and he made a golden image. Sarah and I had an example a few years ago. This is actually many years ago, early in our marriage, when we worked for the same company. And we had a project where they allocated federal money for disaster relief and emergency preparation. So every year, they would hand out millions of dollars, and the first people from each state could go online in our application and request that money to use for their own training. They could get trucks. They could do all sorts of preparation for emergency disasters. Well, sure enough, one of these instances, and it happened every quarter that they could get their money, one of these instances fell on a Friday night. And of course, Sarah and I, we wouldn't normally be involved in this. We would do our work during regular business hours. But the application itself was crashing. And so there was millions of dollars at stake, and each of the state representatives were on the line to get their money for the whole quarter on Friday night. So Sarah and I had a choice. Do we stand up or do we fold? And at that time, both of us folded. We both worked on Friday night. At that time, we felt like we didn't have any other option, but we certainly did have other options. But when the pressure was mounted, we both folded. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. It ended up being a blessing in disguise because that was the turning point that made Sarah and I realize we were in the wrong job. So we quit that company, but when the pressure was on, we folded. Let's find an example of someone who did the exact opposite. This is Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, read verses 51 through 60. Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through 60. And let's first get a little bit of context. This is, of course, early on in the history of the church, after the Holy Spirit had been received on the day of Pentecost. There was people from all over being called into the church, and just as an equal and opposite reaction, there was people that were going against those that were in the church. And this is an example of Stephen. Stephen, Acts chapter 7, verse 51. So this is Stephen preaching back to them. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. Verse 53. Who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. So Stephen gives them a sermon, so to speak. And at first they're very receptive. Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnash at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen, and he, as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Well, I have one point for us today. One point, it's this. We work on practicing every day so that when it really matters, we're ready. We work on our Christianity every day so when trials and tribulations and pressures come upon us, we're ready. We're ready. Because we know it's not all going to be practice. There is going to be a time when it matters. And when we have to stand up for what we believe and do what is right. Let's go to one last scripture, Matthew chapter 24. This is Matthew chapter 24. This is one such example when it matters. When the days like today and tomorrow, and the days when we're at home by ourselves, when we're practicing on doing what is right, when we can put that practice into play when it really matters. Matthew chapter 24, we'll start reading in verse 1. Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 1. It said, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Then Jesus goes through and explains what it will be like at the end time. Verse 5, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. And all these is the beginning of sorrows. Let's notice this in verse 9. Then they will deliver you up and me up. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Well, this is an instance of when it will very much matter, when all the practice you put in now will come to a forefront. Verse 22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Well, brethren, let's practice now, each and every day. Let's practice so that when the time comes and when we're put to the test, we can be like Stephen and get in that spiritual hall of fame.
Stand for another hymn.